Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is Chris Miles here, host of the Chris Miles Money Show. Welcome you out this morning where we're here to teach you how to do just what we always say you're going to do, how to create greater freedom, prosperity, and a better quality of life right now and in the future. It's not about either or, folks. It's all about how to have that prosperity today and later on. As always, just remind you to go check us out at MoneyRipples.com. Check out the blogs that we've got going. Check out other podcasts we have as well with the show. Other ways you can grow and prosper and learn how to create prosperity for yourself, especially those of you that are in business, how to really take that to another level. This is something I'm so excited about, and I'm excited about the show today as well, because you know there's a pretty big topic I teach at a lot of my events that I do, and that's a topic about stewardship. And I talk about the difference in perspectives, that there's the spender perspective, which a spender is pretty easy for most people to get. These are people that money is easy come, easy go. They usually blow it to where it doesn't come back. It's not a productive way of using money. Money goes out and it doesn't come back in because it's getting blown on things. Sure, they end up getting things today, but they usually don't have much day to day or in the future. They're just surviving. And there's a lot of scarcity and fear around that. On the flip side, there's the savers. And the savers tend to hoard things. They want to save it. They can never save enough. They don't like spending money. They don't like having expenses. They don't like having debt. They want to get rid of it as fast as possible. And even when it's gone, they still feel like they don't want to have any more expenses. Sometimes on the far extremes, they become cheap. You know, they might say they're frugal, but really they're cheap, right? These are the people that probably make you pay for dinner. You know, these are the people that make your life kind of miserable, especially if you live around them or you're close to them. In many cases, these people will be those that want to do everything possible to save enough money so that they can someday feel financially free. Unfortunately, they never do because they still live in fear. And they'll eventually get to a point where they'll never save enough. They'll never be quite enough to truly feel like they can live free. They're always scared. They're always worried about not having enough or not be able or they'll run out of money when they get to retirement. Even if they save a lot, they're still worried about running out of money. There's no freedom there. There is no financial freedom if you're a spender or a saver. The only perspective that's not in scarcity that allows you to not be in that scenario is to be a steward. Now, stewards are very different. I want to dig deep into what a steward really is so that you can start to apply that for your life right now. Because I'm telling you, prosperity and financial freedom are only possible if you have really not only understand the stewardship perspective, but are able to master it and make it become a part of you. It has to become a part of you or it just doesn't work. It just doesn't become enough and you'll still go with one of those other perspectives. And even if you think you're a great steward, awesome. And maybe you are a good steward. Find ways, as we're talking about this, to increase that. Because I'll tell you, you're never truly prosperous unless you're progressing. Progression is always at the heart of prosperity. And so as a steward, that's essentially what stewards are focused on. It's about progression. It's about multiplying and increasing. It's about making things better, right? Beautifying and improving upon things. Always figuring out how to manage and make things better. I love to come back to the example in the Bible, in the New Testament, of the parable of the three talents. Now in there, there's three servants that are given different sums of money that are called talents. One was given five sums, referred to as five talents. The other was given two, and the third one was given one. Now as they went out, there was a certain amount of time that they went out and they went and did their thing with their money. Now after a certain amount of time, the master called them back. Now the master loaned them the money. He gave them a loan to go out and use this money to create an increase. So he commanded them to go out and do what they need to do with it and then come back and report. So they did. And they came back. The person with five made five more to make 10. He doubled it. Now, when he did that, the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have made you, basically made you a steward over a few things. Now I'll make you a master of many, or, you know, I'll give you much more to deal with. So come into my kingdom, right? And basically deal with the inheritance I have for you. Now, this is very much a spiritual principle as much as it is a temporal principle, too. I want you to remember that. The second one comes back. He had two given to him. He came back with two more for a total of four. He also doubled it and got the same exact reward. There is no difference. Now, this is, I think, a very valid point because stewards realize that it doesn't matter where you start. It's just how you progress and how you grow. It doesn't matter if you end up being a billionaire or a millionaire even. What really matters is what you do with the stewardship you're given. But the person with one, though, out of fear, buried it. This person had a saver mentality, did not want to lose the money, therefore made sure he paid back his debt and did so. But the master, you're a slothful and not a wise servant. You knew exactly what I commanded of you. You know, and there's even talk about him being a, you know, hard master and reaping where he doesn't sow and things like that. And he just says, listen, you knew what the rules were. You get out of here. I'm going to give that one to the guy that made 10. Now, that might seem unfair, but when you think about what our purpose is really, is that I believe our purpose on this planet is to bless other people's lives, is to serve them in the way that only we can, to bless them in any way possible with not just money, but with time and talents and everything we've been given to be able to help make this world better. And so I believe that's our purpose when we're here on this earth, is to do that. And we grow both financially, spiritually, and in all ways in our lives that makes it. Really, I think what really creates true happiness. True wealth happens when there's happiness involved, when there's progression involved, not when it's just about making money. In fact, how many times have we heard that people with more money aren't necessarily more happy? In fact, there's even a certain point where people make just enough money if they're essentially providing for their needs. At a certain point, the happiness levels don't increase. There is some comfort there, but it's not necessarily more happiness or less stress. You know, it's about stewardship. And so stewards do everything possible to use all their money and all the resources in a way that helps create value for more people, to help bless people's lives. You know, I like to say that even, you know, stewards take the best of the spender and the savers. The spenders at least are willing to use money. They just don't use it wisely. That's the difference between them and a steward. A steward's willing to take money and be more, a little bit more wise with it like a saver would be, but they're willing to use it like a saver would not do. And they're willing to use it wisely in a way that it comes back. They always want to create increase. They want to multiply and grow and manage that stewardship they have. Because they want to grow it, and then they want to manage it, and they want to keep growing it from there. They want to keep managing the stewardship they have. And some people will be uncomfortable at certain points. They might say, you know, I don't know if I can feel like I can manage a lot. Well, you know what? Nobody can on their own. There's going to be a certain point where you're going to say, I'm going to need other people's help. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it can't. You can't expect yourself to be at the same place and to increase your money, increase your wealth overall in life. I really believe that progress is at the foundation of prosperity, just like stewardship is. Stewardship is all about progress, all about trying to increase things and make things better. And so even when they do save money, they still save with a purpose because they want to use that money. They're not willing to, you know, stewards are willing to really realize the principle that money is meant to be used. It's not meant to be hoarded and saved from the way that traditional people try to teach you. If you've noticed, most of the people that teach you how to save money are telling you to save money in places that other people are using that money as stewards. For example, banks or other financial institutions, they're not just hoarding your money, letting it sit on a shelf and collect dust and collect interest over time. They're actively using it and managing it. They're trying to increase it and grow it. If you really look at what a bank does, banks are some of the best stewards in the world. Not the ones we had to bail out. Some of those forgot some of the stewardship principles and got themselves in trouble. But most of the time, when you see financial institutions that are really around, they last, they do good things. They're looking at things as a stewardship. They don't want to take a lot of risk with their money. In fact, if you really look at what a bank does, you know, it's funny because I have people that are 18-year-olds that have never used a bank before. They'll still know all five of these questions correctly. Because we know that bank wants money. Well, how often do they want your money? They want it as often as possible. How much of it do they want? As much of it as possible, right? How long do they want to keep it? Forever. And they'll tell you about compound interest and how amazing it is and never, ever touch it, which comes to the fourth one. How much do they want you to take out? As little as possible, right? They want you to live off the interest, or now they're telling you to live off less than the interest because – they can't guarantee you'll even you won't run out of money, so they're telling you to live off between 2 and 3% a year, which is a horrible, horrible way to have wealth. There is no wealth there. And they'll tell you things like that. And then they'll tell you to take high risks. But in reality, banks and financial institutions don't like to take high risks. They like the guarantees. They like to make sure they're making money on your money no matter what. Markets go up or down, they still make money. They still charge you fees. You know, even they always still charge interest. They still charge all the things they need to do. And even if you pay it off, not a problem. They'll still turn around and loan out to somebody else to make more interest. They love it when you pay them back fast, especially when it comes to loans. So, and they love when you save money forever and don't want to touch it because they have the ability to be stewards of your money. Why can't we do the same thing? And this goes well, well beyond money. If you think that when it comes to increasing your stewardship and increasing your wealth, that's just about how to take money to make money, you're missing a big, big point of how most people, especially the wealthy, make money. Most of it isn't from their own money. Even billionaires will leverage other people's money. It's all about how to increase everything and use all the resources you have, both the things that you have that are not don't seem so tangible, that are your gifts and talents, your time and your energy. All of those things are used in coordination with the money, all together with it, all used together to create something more. And so stewards are always trying to do that. Stewards also don't worry about trying to retire. They're not worried about retirement as much. In fact, they think retirement's dumb. I know I do. Now, here's the thing I don't think is dumb about retirement. You know, most people believe retirement is about getting to a point where you work hard and then you do nothing, or you just go travel, or you just play or do whatever. I want to ask you, as a steward, would a steward say, I'm just going to go play and just be with my family and do nothing else? Or would a steward say, you know, how can I bless more people's lives? Maybe I can have fun doing it too. But how can I still keep blessing people's lives? How can I still keep being of value to people? See, stewards always want to be of value to others. It's not about just simply living off the interest like every financial institution wants you to do. It's about how to create more and how to bless more people's lives. There's true happiness and there's true wealth there. And the funny thing is even though you're happier, money wants to follow you more naturally because you're always trying to provide value for people, and dollars will follow the value you create. It's the natural law of exchange. And so when you think about it from that standpoint, retirement from a lazy perspective, from just a consumption perspective like most people are taught, is ridiculous. Here's why I think it's not where it is cool, is that you get yourself in a financial position where you work because you love it, not because you have to. I believe, especially those of you that are business owners, that's where you really want to be. You already love the business you're in for the most part. I imagine most of you listening to this love what you do and know that you create a great service or value for people. But you would love to be in a place where you wouldn't have to feel like you have to keep working all the time, like you feel like you're almost in bondage to the thing you love. You want to work regardless of the money. You want to work for people and be able to not worry about the money. And that's a great, noble place to be. And that should be our objective. And that's where a lot of other podcasts and things that I teach with our events and my coaching goes into more. But it's always about increasing that stewardship and making it better. And so you don't retire just to retire for laziness sake. You look for ways to create freedom and then keep working because you love it, not because you have to. And if you're going to retire from anything, retire from the things that you hate. Retire from the things that you don't love. But make sure you never retire from the things that you do love. Why would you ever stop doing what you love if that's what you would do regardless of money? That's why I love doing what I do. I do this regardless of the money. As you well know, I do not charge for these podcasts. That's why you're receiving them right now. I don't do that. It's more of a labor of love. And it's also because I know I can create a lot of value for people. And I know that dollars naturally follow that. There's always opportunities and doors open up, even if not directly for my podcast, just because I go and I do those things and I'm always looking at increasing my stewardship, increasing my influence, increasing the way I can bless more people's lives. And you know what? Money doesn't seem to be an issue when that happens. When that priority is set, when you focus on what's should be the first priority, which is really blessing people's lives and doing what's right, the natural consequences are just awesome. It's prosperity. And so stewards focus on that. They also don't mind spending money. They actually love it. They want to use money. They don't care about becoming wealthy and consuming all their money. Like I said, they're looking at finding ways to produce more with it. How can you hire more people and employ more people? You know, there was somebody that was feeling disturbed because there was a religious leader that said that pretty much when it comes to money, you should just create the living that you need, and then the rest of it should be helping feed the naked and clothe the naked, feed the hungry. You know, those kind of Christian principles. And I said, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. It's not just throwing money away. And she was having a little hard time with that. I said, no, that's not it at all. In fact, I agree with that. However, how do you go about feeding the hungry? And how do you go about clothing the naked? When you employ other people to use their talents and their stewardship to bless other people's lives, and you employ them to help you increase and manage your wealth, increase and manage your stewardship, this is where everybody becomes wealthy together. I mean, if you understand this, like stewards understand the principle of exchange, that the more we can exchange with one another, the wealthier everybody becomes. The more that we out of fear and scarcity either blow money or hold on to it and hoard it, the more that people become more impoverished. And so you want to focus on how do you find ways to allow others to bless your life and increase your stewardship so that you can actually bless everybody's lives. One of the things I love, a good example is given, was from a pioneer that settled here in Utah. He was teaching about economics and helping, you know, at this time Utah was just starting to raise crops and do a lot of things and start establishing communities here. And he said, he gave the example of stewardship. He said, there's a farmer. He says, there's a story of a farmer. And this farmer, after a number of years, decided to sell his farm for $150,000. Now, I want to put this in perspective for you. Some of you may have heard some of these other shows I've done, like Does God Want You to Be Rich? And I talk about this story as well. But I want to talk about this from this perspective now, from a stewardship perspective. He says that this farmer, he ends up selling his land for 150 grand. Now, if you factor in right now with inflation and things like that, there's a lot of debate about how much inflation really. But I would say easily, this would be at least $7, maybe $8 million he sold his farm for in today's dollars. Now, think of it this way, $7 to $8 million. How many of you know people that would say, cool, I can put that money into an IRA or put it into some investment vehicle, even just a simple, very conservative savings vehicle and live off the interest? I mean, people would say, yeah, sure. Even 1% of that is pretty darn good, right? You know, you're saying that that's even $70,000 a year or $80,000 a year at 1%. I make two, I'm in the hundreds of thousands, right? But he doesn't stop there. He takes that money, he starts a wool factory. And with that wool factory, he employs dozens, if not hundreds of people. And over a course of time, about 5 or 10 years pass, he's built it up. He's actually improved the community. The people have now become more wealthy. They've done things to clean up the community and make it better. Everybody's prospering. Things are beautiful. People are happy. And then, of course, men come into town with their gold and silver and say, hey, you've got thriving communities. You've got a growing good business. We want to buy that from you for $500,000. Now, using those same exact numbers, that's over $25, $26 million. How many of you could easily retire off that? Anybody could, for that matter, right? But here's the thing. He didn't stop there. He took that money and did it again and went to multiply it, make it bigger and better again, now employing hundreds, if not thousands of people. That is what a steward does. Now, it doesn't mean you have to open up a business and employ hundreds or thousands of people. That's not what we're saying here. Everybody's got their different threshold and their different level where they're at. You might not employ anybody. You might not even have a business. You might just be trying to manage what you have and try to make things better. There's still ways to do that. There's still ways to increase and grow. The point of this is this, is that what we do and how we use our time, our energy, our gifts, and our talents, as well as our money, in the service of others to bless lives, and realizing that money is not our own. We don't own anything. See, savers are so consumed with ownership. They want to own everything. They want to own their house. They want to own their own investments. They want to own this and own this and own it all outright. The problem is that once you die, you own nothing. It's not about ownership. It's about control. Stewards, even the very wealthy, know that they don't care about owning things. They want to control those things. They want to have management over those things. And so they focus not on ownership because they know they won't own it when they're dead. It'll go to somebody else, right? Even if it's in a trust, it still goes to somebody else, not you. Your whole job, your whole purpose is to figure out how you can take all the resources you've been given, all of it, including your money, and use it in a way that blesses people's lives, that creates a legacy that lasts well beyond you. What do you do right now to make the world a better place? That people say, this person not only left a footprint on the planet, but left an imprint in my heart. That is what stewardship is. So everybody, I challenge you to understand those principles of stewardship more. Understand more deeply. Allow us to serve you that way. If there's events or things that we can do that you would want to attend, you know, attend those things. Because I'm telling you, this is at the heart of all prosperity here, is that stewardship. You understand this. You understand that abundance perspective of how you view money. And, of course, it goes well beyond what we just talked about today in just 20 minutes. It goes much more beyond that. It's all about how you can grow and prosper. Oh, how you can bless people's lives and make the world so much better and so much more wealthy because you are in it. That is the power of stewardship. Everybody, this is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, signing off, telling you have a great and prosperous week. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.